again talking about some Alabama fatigue. If you've got that and you're sick of them and you don't want to see them anymore on that big stage, big problem. Not only did they win again, they won with freshmen. Not only did they win with freshmen, but you got a head coach who's not showing any signs of slowing down. Joining us now to talk about that and everything relating to last night's game is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel. Pete, good morning. Great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Great to be here, man.
It's good to have you, Pete. So before we get into the details of the game last night, now you've had a few hours to think about this one and reflect upon it. When you look back on last night's game, Pete, what sticks out to you most of all?
You know, good question, Jim. I really think this reminds me of the national title game 2 years ago when Nick Saban's onside kick in the fourth quarter of a tie game really set the tenor and paved the way to win. And, you know, he came to that decision, Jim, basically because he did not think they could stop Deshaun Watson 2 years ago. And this year his decision was very simple. He didn't think they could win with Jalen Hurts playing quarterback. I think they had 90-something yards and four first downs in the first half. So what he decided to do is say, hey, we're going to put in Tua Tagovailoa, never started a game, never really played a pressure snap in his entire career, and we're going to insert him in the game. And obviously, in retrospect, he looked like a genius.
You know, I want to ask you about that in 1 second, Pete, but it wasn't just that Alabama wasn't able to move the ball, and they weren't, but there was nothing about them that looked like they were Alabama. I mean, they're making mental errors. In the third quarter, you have Mekhi Brown throwing a punch at a Georgia player. He gets into it with staffers on the sideline. Exactly what happened in that case?
Well, I just think that was a young kid, and he told me last night I was a jerk and I could have cost us the game. But you're right, Jim. The whole thing looked very un-Alabama. It was the unprocessed moment, and look, they were unraveling a little bit. I mean, you're down double digits and multiple scores in the national title game, and your offense isn't working. There's an added pressure to have to make plays and to do things, and so Mekhi Brown went after a guy named Kerry Stevenson, who's the director of player personnel, one of 763 Alabama off-field assistants that they have. And, I mean, it was a startling moment to see. It's one you don't appreciate live way up in the press box as much as TV. And look, on TV, it looked pretty ugly.
Pete Thamel joining us. All right, so Tua arrives in Alabama, Pete, obviously with a ton of hype. But if you were to give Nick Saban some truth serum, when he made that switch, did he have any idea that freshman would show up the way that he did in the second half?
Well, he played excellent, Jim, but he was far from perfect, as Nick pointed out after the game. I mean, he obviously took that horrible sack to start overtime. He threw an interception. The touchdown pass on 4th and 4, which was another great call by Nick. I didn't ask to about this after the game, but it looked like he was trying to throw to another receiver. So, and I believe he was like 11 of 22, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it wasn't like he went in and went 20 of 22 and played flawless. But what he did was present enough of a threat with his arm that Georgia had to change the way they were playing defense, and they couldn't stack the box like they were. And then the run game opened up, and everything kind of flowed from there. So did Nick Saban know he was going to do this? No, but he also had no other choice.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. You know, Pete, right before you came on, I mentioned that they're doing this, and they're doing it with freshmen, because Tua was not the only freshman who had a huge impact on that game in the second half. So if you're the rest of college football, and you see Nick Saban winning his 6th national championship with yet another wave of talented freshmen, how worrisome is that to everybody else?
Yeah, you know, it was funny, because for the first half last night, it looked like there could be a little bit of a start of the changing of the guard. Right. And order was quickly restored. I believe it's 5 titles in 9 years. And look, this is modern college football. What you saw last night is modern college football. Nick Saban, talented players, young players playing above their age and their grade, making plays. And there is no sign to me, when you look at a true freshman quarterback throwing to a freshman receiver, when you look at all of the talented young guys that Alabama has over the ball, until this year they've had 7 consecutive number one recruiting classes. It is a machine that is emotionless and merciless and marching on.
Pete Thamel, my guest. So, Pete, the guy's done everything there is to do in the game. What's your sense at this point in his professional life? What motivates him and what drives him now when there's nothing left to accomplish?
Well, he's chasing history now. He's tied with Bear for 6 national titles, and I have seen, and those around him have seen, no signs of him slowing down. 66 years old, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to go 10 more years, but I don't think any sort of consideration of retirement is imminent. I've been given no sense of that.
You know, but there was something different about last night. He said afterwards, quote, "I've never been happier in my life. Never." It's a pretty amazing statement from Nick Saban. Why do you think last night's game made him so happy? In other words, why was last night better than all the others?
You know what? He's sort of a slave to the precious present. He's a singularly focused guy. So last night was the greatest night of his life and the greatest game of his life because it was the game in front of him, or the game that had just been behind him. So I didn't read anything else into that other than he wanted to deflect any notion of himself historically and put the focus on what his team had just accomplished. He's been pretty consistent about that theme throughout the years, Jim.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. Pete, before you go, let me get your thoughts on the other side, the Georgia side. You had a great piece the other day on time that you spent with Sonny and Sharon Smart. They're Kirby's parents. First off, where do they live, and what's life like there?
So it was a great, fun story. Sonny Smart is an old Georgia high school coach from Central Casting. He coached a little bit in Alabama, so more than three decades banging around the Southeast. And his mom was an English teacher. They called themselves a package deal. And I went up to Raven Gap, which is right on the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia border on the far northeastern part of the state. And it was just a beautiful little town at the base of the Smoky Mountains. And the you could quickly see, you know, what formed Kirby Smart long before, you know, he became a lieutenant to Nick Saban. He was the salutatorian of his high school class. He spoke at graduation. You know, he was on the math team. You know, he would leave baseball games or sporting events and go be a ringer on the school's math team. He's a well-rounded, bright guy whose parents were obviously a significant influence. And, you know, he's the kind of the classic coach's kid, Jim, you've heard it a million times, who grew up tagging along practice and hanging out in his dad's locker room and on the sideline and kind of grew up that way. And his dad had coached all over the state of Georgia, is very respected in the fraternity of Georgia high school coaches. And he was really groomed, you know, from birth for this Georgia job.
All right, so knowing what you know about his parents, knowing what you know about Kirby Smart, how do you think he's going to process this loss?
Now, I thought, he obviously won't think this way because he's a super intense coach, but I thought Georgia was playing with house money last night, Jim. You know, like, nobody expected them to get there. They were 8-5 last year, you know, played in the Liberty Bowl. All right. They had two dynamic tailbacks come back, and he's just pushed that program so much further, so much faster. I think when he has a couple days to sit back and realize that they won the SEC, Georgia had the number one ranked recruiting class in the country this year, they're well ahead of schedule. And, you know, what he learned from Nick Saban is complacency is your enemy, and he's going to keep pushing him forward.
Hey, listen, one last thought, Pete. You have a young quarterback like they have in Fromm. And to me, until I saw Tua last night, I thought that I'd never seen a freshman quite like Fromm. I mean, a really special young guy. But when you've got the backfield they have, guys like Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, and you've got that lead, is he going to look back? Is Kirby Smart going to look back and regret that he didn't try to spin the clock and feed that monster and go with that backfield more than he did, especially given the lead they had?
Well, I think the biggest strategic blunder that Georgia made last night, Jim, was that Nick Chubb did not have a good night. You know, he averaged somewhere around 2 yards a carry, less than 2 yards a carry. Sonny Michel had a great night, and they did not feed the hot hand in the second half. But I'll leave you with this thought, which is a delicious one for your listeners who probably don't follow recruiting. Georgia has the number one quarterback recruit in the country coming in next year, a kid named Justin Fields. Could have been a high pick in baseball. You know, I saw him play at a quarterback collective camp this summer, and people considered him to be in the vein of the next Cam Newton. So I had an SEC quarterback guy tell me that, you know, who's recruited all these guys over the years, tell me that he thought that Fields was so talented he could replace Fromm. So, you know, those are first world problems now, you know, when you have things going that way.
No doubt. Glad you brought that up, Pete. In fact, I'm going to pick that up when we come back. Pete, great to have you on. I know it was a long night for you. Really nice to have you on the show once again. Thanks so much, Pete.
Hey, Jim, thanks for thinking of me.
Pete Thamel joining us. All right, so Georgia, you've got that coming in too. You've got a guy who comes in who might be better than Fromm. And Fromm already is almost unlike any freshman I've ever seen.